In last Sunday's gospel reading, we learned how Jesus instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper, and he did this on the Thursday evening of Holy Week, which was the night of the Passover, as well as the night before Jesus' death on the cross for us. In the Lord's Supper, the Almighty and Eternal Son of God serves us sinners by giving us his body and blood to eat and drink. We receive this gift today. It's God's sign to us that we are forgiven. It's God's sign to us that we are united with him. It's God's sign to us that we get to live with him now and for all eternity. In fact, the Lord's Supper shows us what God is really like. Even though he is the Almighty Creator and all should grovel before him, he longs to serve us, even though we have sinned against him and deserve only his wrath. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to die in our place of damnation and to conquer death for us, that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as his dearly loved children. Now, once God serves us, our lives also change. God's love transforms us from being self-centered sinners and turns us into selfless servants. Selfless servants who love and serve others just as God loves and serves us. In fact, Paul wrote about that in our reading from Philippians chapter 2, which you heard moments ago. With that said, we're now ready to examine today's gospel reading, which picks up where last Sunday's gospel reading left off. You might remember the apostles of Jesus had just received the Lord's Supper. But, just like us, they continue to struggle with their sinful nature. Listen again to the beginning of our gospel reading. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. They were acting like this right after receiving the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine how frustrated Jesus must have been? Jesus had just served them his body and blood in Holy Communion. And just a few minutes later, they're arguing among themselves about which one of them is the greatest. Of course, we dare not judge them too harshly, as though we are above such things. How many times haven't we attended the Lord's Supper without taking time to properly prepare for this meal? For example, instead of praying with our family before attending the Lord's Supper, instead of apologizing to each other if we have sinned against each other and forgiving each other, we sometimes come to church after fighting with our family. And on top of that, maybe we're giving little or no attention to the other sins in our lives. Do we sometimes kneel before the altar to receive communion while having sinful thoughts go through our mind, or while having animosity toward others? And how about after we leave the church, having received the Lord's Supper? Do we end up sinning again, just like the apostles did, only moments after receiving this gift? Even though we are Christians who have the Holy Spirit, even though we are Christians who long for God's mercy, and we attend the Lord's Supper to be united with Christ and to receive strength to live as his children, the fact is, like the apostles, we still have a sinful nature. And so just like the apostles, we struggle with that sinful nature, and we often end up living in a way that frustrates Jesus and breaks his heart. But Jesus doesn't forsake us. Instead, He teaches us. He loves us enough to expose the sin in our lives so that we can repent of it and rejoice in His forgiveness. And once we receive His forgiveness, Jesus then shows us how we get to live as His forgiven children. So let's go back to our gospel reading. When Jesus hears His apostles arguing about which one of them is the greatest, He lovingly confronts them. Allow me to first explain what Jesus is trying to teach His apostles, and then I will explain how His words apply to us today. Jesus tells them that even though they are going to be leaders in His church, they are not to be like the leaders of this world who lord it over those who are under them. Instead, in God's kingdom, those who have positions of authority serve those who are under their care. Jesus then points out that He indeed is the greatest one at the table, and yet He willingly chooses to be their servant. In our reading from John's Gospel, we see how Jesus washed their feet, a task of the lowliest servant. He does this as an example of what it means to have authority in God's kingdom. After this, Jesus reminds them that they have been standing beside Him during His trials. Indeed, they have been faithful to Him. Faithful to Him when people were rejecting Him and despising His teaching and preaching. Jesus reminds them of this because, you see, things are not going to change. In fact, things are about to get a lot worse. Jesus will soon suffer and die on the cross. And only by the grace of God will the disciples be able to remain faithful to Jesus, especially when they face trials and persecution themselves because of their preaching and teaching about Jesus. But then Jesus comforts them. He comforts them by reminding them that He has given them His kingdom. His kingdom of forgiveness, His kingdom of love, His kingdom of eternal life. In fact, they have just received the Holy Supper, and they will receive it again from Him after His resurrection. And even after Jesus eventually ascends to His Father, He will continue to be with them in this same Holy Supper, where they will receive the body and blood He gave and shed for them. Finally, Jesus says they will sit on thrones and they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Jesus is using symbolic language here. He's using this language to teach His apostles that they get to be servants of the church. For example, when Jesus talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, He's not referring merely to the Old Testament people, but by speaking of the 12 tribes of Israel, He means all believers of all times and places, all people who are united with God through faith in Christ. Jesus says that the apostles get to be our judges. That is, they get to be our spiritual teachers and protectors. You see, when Jesus tells them they get to be judges, He doesn't mean a modern-day person in the courtroom who wears a black robe. No, by judges, Jesus means the same thing as the Old Testament in the book of Judges, which talks about people who were called judges, but the Hebrew word translated as judges refers to people who were protectors and teachers of God's people. So, Jesus is teaching His apostles that they will have positions of great authority in His church. Jesus, in fact, will use his apostles to teach the first Christians and then to record their teaching for Christians of future generations. And we are those Christians, and we have the teaching of Jesus from the writings of his apostles in the New Testament. And so as we study the New Testament scriptures, guess what? Jesus continues to use his apostles to be our judges, to be our spiritual protectors and teachers. Do you see what Jesus has done? Jesus shows his apostles that their discussion about which one of them were the greatest is really sinful thinking, and they need to repent. But Jesus also assures them that they are forgiven. They have been given his kingdom. They have been given his supper. And now they get to be like Jesus. They get to be servants of his people. Well, now do you see how all this applies to us? Sometimes the devil distracts us, and we fall back into the same sinful habits of our evil nature, even after receiving the Lord's Supper. But then Jesus confronts us with his word, as he did with the apostles, and he calls us to repentance. My friends, that's why it's so important to attend services on a regular basis. That's why it's a blessing to attend Bible class. That's why it's a very good thing to read the scriptures during the week, because that's how Jesus teaches us today. That's how he calls us to repentance and faith today. When Jesus speaks to us through his word, he not only exposes our sin so that we can repent of it, he also reminds us that he has given us a kingdom and he has given us his supper. We have God's kingdom of forgiveness, love, and life. And Jesus is here today to give us his own body and blood in this holy meal that he first gave the apostles almost 2,000 years ago. And through this same meal, he is with us today, forgiving us and uniting us with himself. You know what that means? You can come to this holy meal today with all your many sins that burden you. Your sins that weigh you down with guilt and shame. You can come to the Lord's Supper today and know, without a doubt, that you are forgiven. We can come to this holy meal and know that we are united with Christ. Even though he seems so far away sometimes, we remember his words, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And indeed today he says, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." Jesus assures us that we are forgiven and that we get to be like him. We get to love and serve others in his name. Now, of course, we are not leaders in his church in the same way that the apostles were. But Jesus does call each and every one of us Christians to live as his people in this sinful world and to be his witnesses. In addition, God also calls us to love and serve others as he loves and serves us. We start with that practice by loving and serving the members of our own family. And when we fall short of that, when we sin against each other, we confess our sins to one another, we forgive each other, and we move forward in God's forgiveness for us. So God calls us to love and serve others, the members of our own family, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here at Concordia. He calls us to love and serve our neighbors when we have the opportunity. Yes, God even calls us to love and serve those who have sinned against us. And you know what? When people notice that there's something different about us, when people notice that we're not like the people of the world who lord it over those who are under them. When people notice that we daily repent of our selfish attitudes and our actions and beg God for mercy. When people notice that we strive to be humble servants and we strive to serve others in love. When people notice this about us, then we can point them to Jesus. We can point them to the Almighty and the Eternal Son of God who came into this world for one reason and one reason only. To serve us sinners. That we might be His own. And that we might be servants. Just like Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our servant. Amen.